Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
How
I
are you?
figure I'll just add Ronnie when he shows up.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Yeah.
How are things?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. You saw a good movie yesterday?
Yeah. That was more military suspense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Submarine warfare, Navy SEAL type thing. It was really
Oh,
good.
interesting. Did you see, while we're waiting for Ronnie, I think you did. You saw the new Halloween or no?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was really good.
I liked it. I didn't like it as much as the first two.
I haven't seen the second one in a very long time. The first one, yeah, I mean, I would probably agree with you, but I thought they did a pretty good job in this new one.
This one rang too much like Terminator 2 to me. It's Linda Hamilton getting prepared,
Yeah,
working her son to fight.
that I mean, that's true, right?
I mean, it was good. I mean, it was
Yeah.
a callback. It wasn't as great as people hyped it up for, to be.
Yeah. I
I
still
think the
thought it was.
first two are classic, and
I gotta watch the second one again.
I think they shouldn't have dismissed the second one, because it wasn't the
Yeah.
same night, Dr. Loomis, all that hospital shit. I mean, even Rob Zombie paid respect to the first two.
Yeah,
I mean,
he re did he redid them?
yeah.
I haven't watched those at all.
Yeah, he redid them. They're a lot more violent.
I can imagine.
But they're in the similar vein.
I went on Friday afternoon. I took a half of a day from work and went by myself because that's not something that Stacy is interested in.
I was shocked because we go to the movies almost every week, me and Barb. I'm pretty close to it. Almost every Saturday morning around between 10 and 11, there's a feature of something we go see. And it's surprising that my best films have been films that I wasn't really excited to see or didn't know what the hell they were. With
Yeah.
the exception of the El Royale one, I kind of knew that was Tarantino-esque from the preview. Hunter Killer, I never even saw a preview for.
No, I
I don't
didn't even
even
know
know
what that
what it
was. And
was.
not until you
And then
posted that you saw it.
Barb was like, "Oh, it's got Gerald Butler and Gary Oldman," and I'm like, "Well, that's pretty good." And
Yeah.
it's about, she read some of the, it didn't get really good Rotten Tomato scores, but it got really good people scores. And people
Oh,
were
really?
comparing it to Hunt for Red October and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty
And
good.
I really enjoyed it. Because my best films this year have been films that I wouldn't even saw. Like Searching was my favorite.
Let me tell you, my parents couldn't remember the name of it and then finally remembered. And they were raving about Searching too. So I think that's on streaming somewhere or whatever. So I'm going to have to rent that.
Yeah, I was begging my mom to go see it, but I don't think they've seen it. But it is like a different kind of horror, like such like a realistic horror that could happen. Just because, I don't know, if you have kids, it could potentially be that kind of thing, So I think it's terrifying from a perspective, and I don't have kids, so I can't imagine people that have kids that go through something that this guy went through, and then I don't know. It's pretty good. Yeah, so that was my top film of the year, and then I liked the El Royale. I knew what I was getting with that one though, because the preview was like, man, this is Tarantino-esque, and I like Tarantino films, so I knew what I was getting there. And then this one just surprised the hell out of me. I didn't even. Me and Barb were like, man, we never saw one preview for Hunter Killer. Not one thing, not even during like a sports game, like a
I
football
never heard
game.
of it.
Yeah.
I was at the theater, like I said, on Friday, so I saw that there was a movie called that playing, but I'm like, I never heard anything about that movie.
Yeah. And then we saw Halloween, and that was good. It wasn't one of my favorites, but it was good.
Yeah.
I liked a lot of what it was. You know who drove me crazy though? You know what I didn't like about the film was the doctor, the new Dr. Loomis.
Oh, you didn't like the doctor?
No, he was too much of a throwback to 60s and 70s Dr. Frankenstein, in my opinion. I mean, just the way he acted. It wasn't like his role or what he did got me. It was the way he played the part.
I can see that.
Let me see if I can add Ronnie. I think somebody just IM'd me. I think. I don't know how to go back to it.
Let's
Shit.
see. There's a little. That's just the chat between me and you.
I don't
How do
know
you?
how to share screen,
More.
snapshot. Well, let me see if he's online if I add him.
Oh, I see.
Is he
Okay.
on?
Let me see if he's on. I gotta go to contacts. Let's see. Yeah, he's on. You want me to
All
try
right.
adding him?
I'll
I
try
don't
to
know if I.
add him. I got
Okay.
him.
You got him? Okay, good.
Add. Unless he was saying, I'm not ready yet.
I'm ready.
All right.
Aha!
You got back from church?
I didn't go to church this today.
Oh. I thought, wow, he's getting back from church to talk about Deep Throat? I mean, that's not, I don't know about that, the irony of the situation.
I had to fix a flat or go help with a flat.
Oh.
Whose flat
Ronnie's
was it?
tow truck business.
Melissa's.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and she's not supposed to be doing other things.
Well, she
Oh,
can't
sure.
probably
Well,
lift
yeah, she can't.
heaviness, yeah.
Yeah, she can't do that anyways, but she's still not supposed to be doing extra stuff.
Right. We'll
Was it
see.
bad, like a
What a
nail
guy.
or something?
Yeah, I just put the donut on it for now,
Yeah.
so she's not late. And then when she gets home later, I'll take it and get it patched up and everything.
Nice. We're
Well,
making a trip to Firestone today too.
how are you this morning? Other than that, Ronnie,
I'm good.
God, I'm glad.
We were just talking about Halloween, the new one. Did you see it yet?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Thoughts?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
It was like it had the same feel as the first one. I loved it.
Yeah, they
Yeah,
had
I
a
thought
lot of
it.
the same locations too, so. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it on Friday. It was very entertaining. Very much so.
I think we saw it last Friday. We had a date night and went and saw it after we.
No, why the fuck would you build this cool little like breakfast bar thing that leads you into the basement, and every time you go down, you leave the remote control on the counter? I don't get it. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing?
Well, remember it was a what did they say? It wasn't something. It was a cage, or it was a trap. It
Well,
wasn't a cage. It was a trap
it
or
was
something
a
like that.
trap, but
Yeah.
they were in. I mean, they were leaving it there. So, I mean, to have the probability of him opening it and then getting down there and then you getting back out is slim to
Well,
none. What kind of
you know what
plan
I
is
really
that?
liked? I did
What?
like when the daughter Karen, not the
The middle
granddaughter.
one, the real
Yeah,
daughter, yeah.
when she started, I can't do this. I can't do this. And then he comes out. That was pretty good.
Well, I think she got her. I think she could do it,
Oh
especially
yeah,
when her daughter. No, I
she
think
was
she
just
freaked
faking him
out. But
out.
once, yeah. Plus, once you introduce her daughter, her protective nature is gonna be
Yeah, but
like
when you think
if
she's
her
been,
daughter was there, she could have folded, I think.
but when you think about it, she's been trained for a young age all the way until I guess she was 12 years old
Yeah.
to totally, be in that mindset. So that, you know, she had it in her. She was just faking him out.
He did take 3 bullets in that movie.
Did he? Yeah.
He took one from the cop, which is from that one actor that's left side, right side, that football movie. I can't remember the one with Denzel Washington, but he played the cop. He shot him once. He shot him when
he did.
When he was chasing him with Jamie Lee Curtis.
And didn't Laurie shoot him in the shoulder or something right at the when she saw him?
Yeah.
Around the.
Oh, her daughter shot him.
Yeah.
I like how Jamie Lee Curtis got thrown out the window, though, because that's what Michael Myers got thrown
yes.
out the window.
Yes. Oh, it was totally callback, and then he leaned over, and she's not there, just
yeah.
like. Yeah. That was cool.
That was kind of a cool twist.
Yeah. And it helped that I just rewatched that probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, yeah. So it was fresh in my mind.
I don't see the harm, though, in making Halloween 2 in canon. It was very much in canon in my mind. All it was is just increased the body count. It didn't really change the flavor or anything. Because it happened in the same night.
Right.
How many movies
right after,
happen
right?
in the same night? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows?
There was a scene in your movie, Rob, that is a scene in Halloween 2, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So yours was from the 70s? Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 75. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Before we start getting into our movies, and again, I know that this isn't retro, but I have to ask you guys, have you gotten any further in The Haunting of Hill House?
Just the first one for me.
Jesus Christ. Mike!
I haven't even started it.
Oh, Ronnie. What are you guys doing?
We got stuff to do, bro.
There's nothing else to do.
Well, it's one of those shows that my wife wants to watch it, so we have to watch it together, and mm-hmm. we have Riverdale to watch, so we got other stuff in the queue.
Oh my God, the thing was just, I loved it, but again, I have to watch these all by myself. So that's why, you know, I want to talk to people about it, because my wife refuses to watch any of these.
I don't know why she wouldn't like that.
It's too scary for her.
I know, but it's a different kind of scary.
And it's this type of scary she doesn't like.
Is it the suspense?
Yes, scary? the creepy, you know, the chills up your spine type thing. It's not like, there's a couple things, but there's not a lot of like just jumping because something startles you.
Like, I don't think Halloween is scary. This new Halloween movie, it had no fear factor at all for me. Because I've seen
it. I think some of it was suspenseful just because I hadn't seen it before, but I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say it was like scary, like it would, like it freaks me out and I'm thinking about it afterwards, which is how House on, you know, on, or The Haunting of Hill House is. It just,
well,
it
was, yeah,
thinking about it.
Haunting of Hill House is scary.
You just keep thinking about
Halloween,
it.
Halloween was not scary. Halloween was Terminator 2. It's like a train generation. They should have played the music. But yeah, we liked Haunting of Hill House. As a matter of fact, I wanted to see it because I got sent an advertisement for it, and I was like, this is going to be good. But I probably won't get to it, like, within the next month.
When you do, you guys gotta let me know what you think. Eventually, I'll get to Chilling Adventures of Sabrina now that's out. Cause
I want to see that. I want to see that too because I'm in Riverdale too. So I want to see what they do with Sabrina.
Is that the same writers as Riverdale?
Yes, which is the same writer as the
Acosta.
Comic.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Roberto. Okay.
He did a really good job with 4, which is Fantastic 4 for Marvel Knights. That was really good.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, he's pretty good writer. He's definitely turned Riverdale into something that I would have never guessed. Do you watch it anymore?
No, I stopped last.
Oh
We
my
watched all
God,
last season,
this
but
year's like
it
Fight.
got to be too much. It was
It's
too
got
much
like
for
Fight Club. It's crazy, man.
me. We stopped, but you know the only thing that drives me crazy is he's so busy with all these TV shows. These comic books are never going to like resolve. Like he's like 3/4 of the way through like the Afterlife with Archie arc, which was supposed to be like R.I.P. Betty. And it just stopped.
I think they've given up with them.
I think so too, because he's, you
If
know,
I was Archie
he's busy making
Comics,
lots of money for Archie, you know, on the TV and the TV
well,
side.
if I was Archie, I would have hired somebody else already.
I
You
mean,
know,
you
say this
think
is
that'd be.
the flavor, this is
Yeah.
what we want, because that's they're in the money making business, and that book was making money for them, so.
Oh my God, sure. Just couldn't get it out. That and Chilling Adventures. I
Yeah.
struggled to get those comic books out.
All right. Well, we can get started with our spooktacular
Sounds good.
retro after we talk to a modern Halloween. All right. Whose movie do we want to start with first? Wait,
Let's start with
let
our
me ask
guest.
this. Did everybody watch them all?
I did.
Did you watch them all, Ronnie?
I watched Trick or Treat and mine, but I didn't get to watch the other one.
Shame on you.
You would have fallen asleep during the first hour. I did. But
Mine was and just so you know where I'm coming from, that's on my 101 horror movies I must see before I die, so I picked
well,
it.
that one is the isn't it the same guy that did Suspiria?
Yes.
Yeah, that Italian guy.
Yeah.
It is. That movie, just at a high level, if you can make it through the first hour, if you can make it through the first
When the
hour,
last 40 minutes are
the
crazy.
payoff is at the end. It's like Antichrist. Bill made me watch a movie called Antichrist, and that one was the most pretentious film I've ever seen. And all the payoff was in the last 15 minutes. Like I would almost just skip the whole movie and watch the last 15 minutes, but
I wouldn't say that this movie was pretentious, though, would you?
no, it was it's one of those it's a mystery one. It's just really slow paced.
Yeah, why don't we just talk about that then?
Yeah.
As long as we're discussing a little bit about it, we can tell Ronnie what he missed. So basically, what happens is it starts out at this conference, and there's a woman who claims to be a psychic, and she's basically doing her, you know, her psychic abilities and calling out on people and doing stuff. And they're talking about just psychic abilities in general. And then she starts getting freaked out because she said there's a murderer in the room, and that, you know, this murderer had killed somebody in the past and is going to kill somebody again. And so like she faints and freaks out and stuff. And you see from the perspective of whoever she's talking to, you can't see who it is, but the person gets up and leaves. And so then later on, it might have been like the next night or whatever, this murderer breaks into the psychic's apartment and kills her. And it's witnessed from the street by the psychic's neighbor, who's a classically trained pianist. And
He's an engineer.
yes, that was kind of fun. That was funny though. So he's down there on the street with a buddy of his that's totally wasted, and he, I guess, plays piano in a bar. And so when the drunk guy goes back to play some more, he witnesses this murder. He goes running up there and you know, calls the police and all of that. And so for whatever reason, this really got to him to the point where he feels like he missed something. When he ran in, he felt like there was a painting on the wall that wasn't there anymore when he left, as if somebody actually first like somebody else was the murderer was still in the building, still in the apartment, and took it for some reason. So he's obsessed with this and actually gets together with a female reporter, and he starts doing all this investigation on his own to try to find the killer. And now, Mike and Ronnie, we're going to go ahead and do spoilers where applicable, right?
Yeah, I think we're spoiling all of these movies. They're from the 70s.
I mean, I want to make sure, but I mean, it's kind of silly not to. So, so anyhow, it's just one step after the other. He's going through trying to get clues and stuff, and in the meantime, this murderer. I didn't understand why that murderer killed that woman out in the country. Did you, Mike?
I don't understand why. I don't even understand the woman that she killed with the tub. What? Why did she kill her?
I don't understand why she's killing anybody. Except for the psychic who knew that.
Well, I understand why she killed the psychic, and I understand why she killed her husband, sort of.
Oh, that's what I forgot to say. Is the very, very beginning of the movie. It actually starts, I think, just before the credits. It shows indistinctly, like, two people struggling and one person being killed, but you can't really see who they are. And then you see, like, a bloody knife kind of, like, skitter across the floor at the feet of a little kid. And then that's like just a cold opening, and then it goes into that conference that I was talking about. So you don't quite know what that is, but
it's really cool how he gives the clues, and mm-hmm. then at the end they tie the clues together, and
right.
So it's just the pacing of it.
It's very slow.
It's weird because it's in English.
It's dubbed in English, yeah.
It's dubbed in English, but you don't really notice the mouth.
No, I didn't
notice.
Moving
differently, yeah.
No.
So.
And it's definitely, like you said, very slow paced, very European type paced. If you want to like stereotype like what you would think, it's definitely paced like that. There's a lot of talking and stuff in between. The murders that are happening, but the English,
and the guy likes to play with the cameras a lot.
Yeah, yeah, he's very depth. He's very well known in Italy.
Yeah,
Dario Argento is the director, and you know, so the pianist is getting closer and closer, and he actually breaks into this. Building because he noticed some differences in this house, and he notices that one old room that used to exist from an old picture is walled up, and he sees that there's a dead skeleton of a man in there with a Christmas tree. And that first scene, it happened in Christmas where the two people were struggling and with a bloody knife at the kid's foot.
They found out that place because the guy who owned it had a little daughter, right? I mean,
yeah, she was a freak.
That was fucking weird. Okay, that came out of nowhere, and that kid looked like something out of like Damien Omen or something. Because she like killed lizards and shit. What? I don't know.
Like, she was putting pins, like just like a single pin through like a little lizard. So it would just be like not dead, but like struggling to get around and stuff.
And then her father would like beat the shit out of her, and she'd get this smile on her face. Like,
yeah, she was freaky.
She was that, and that came out of the blue. Like that wasn't even really part. She was barely
had nothing to do with this.
She was
story.
Barely part of the story because she led him back to the school.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. But, because she drew that picture that he had seen painted over in that house, right? That he scraped off, and she said, "Well, I copied that picture from when I had to clean up the archives at the elementary school." So he goes there with a female reporter, and his drunk friend from before sneaks up on him, and he's got a gun, and he said that he's the one that committed the murders and stuff, and that was a pretty gruesome death too, huh, Mike?
Yeah.
Well,
I like the deaths. The deaths were pretty good because they kill the one psychiatrist / clairvoyant friend that they pretty much kill him by curbing him against all the chimney and stuff. You know, just the tables. He keeps hitting. She keeps hitting his head.
Oh, God, that was
on the like knocking his teeth. Just over and
I expected
over again.
To see his teeth all out.
Yeah, that's like curbing him. He's
oh God.
That's like a mafia thing or a mobster thing, you know, where they would like Sopranos. They did that. They would put like a guy near the curb, and then they'd step on his face, and his teeth would hit the curb.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Were you in the mafia?
No. I watched Sopranos. Sopranos was awesome.
So the drunk pianist friend, his name is Carlo. I can't remember how he gets away, but then he gets like hooked on, like a bar from, a passing by truck that had like rebar and stuff.
And that was good.
Sliding all over the ground and like getting all scraped up, and his head hits the side of the curb, and I mean you could tell he's still alive, but he's knocked out in bad shape and stuff,
and he gets run over.
Yeah, and then he ends up coming loose and his head gets totally run over and pops.
But this guy was interesting because he was hammered all the episode the movie. He was
yeah,
drunk. He was drunk. He was an alcoholic like big time.
Yeah. So
and did you know one thing that drove me crazy, and I don't know if you noticed this, but there at the beginning of the movie, him and his buddy are talking outside of a bar.
Yep.
And then if you look at the background of the bar, it looks like a painting. Like nobody moves.
Yeah, it's like that one painting. It's a famous painting.
It's that famous painting that they make, and they even repo it with like actors all the time, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm like, it was meant to be a real bar. Like he went into that bar, and I'm like, what the hell is he trying to? That was pretentious as hell. That was pretentious.
Because
it was weird, because if you looked at it, the characters weren't moving at all. They were still like a painting. It looked like a painting, but then there was like smoke coming out of the woman's cigarette. And there was just weird shit.
You know what I noticed is that a little further down the bar, like if you're looking at the bar more towards the right side, people were moving around a little bit. But all the way on the left side, like you're talking about, where like the bar would curve, it was like totally static. It was like the painting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like
that was a weird choice. That was very.
It's very strange.
Because I couldn't even concentrate on their conversation. I was looking at the bar. I'm like, nobody's
moving. Well, I wanted to see if anyone was going to be moving or not. Because I thought the same as you. I'm like, that looks just like that.
Yeah, me and Barb was still on watching this before she gave up on it. But
she didn't like it, huh?
She I don't know. It was to be fair, it was pretty slow.
It was slow.
I almost lost interest. I fell asleep. That's what happened. I fell asleep, and then I woke up later to finish it. And she's like, "Nah, go ahead and watch it without me," because I passed out. It was slow. And if it would have kept going, like if it didn't have like a great ending, like I think I would have not liked it.
Yeah.
I think the last 15 minutes were payoff. Like it made the wait worthwhile.
Well, so what happens, Ronnie, is that the police, you know, come and they figure, okay, they have the killer now. Everything's all set. And the English pianist is like, wait a minute. It's like, he couldn't have been the killer. He was with me when the psychic was killed in her apartment. He was standing right next to me. Like there's no way. And not only that, but I saw like somebody in a raincoat walk away, you know, afterwards. And I saw my friend Carlo like coming out of the bar. There were two different people. So, he goes back to the psychic's apartment to try to recreate what was missing, like what that painting was that was missing. And he's looking. And he realized what he was doing was he was looking. He had been looking in a mirror and had seen a face in the mirror and mistook it for a painting. And then when he came back later, there was no face there. And as soon as he realized what it was, he knew who the killer was. And it was this Carlo's mom, who was very, very
She's an actress.
Yeah, she was. She's not very tethered in reality. She was the one that Mike said engineer before, because the guy, the English pianist, came to visit to see Carlo, and he wasn't there. He started talking to the mom, and she kept insisting he was an engineer, and he had to keep repeating and correcting her over and over again that he was a piano player, and she was just like really like out there. So what it turned out to be, and then of course she's there in the she's sneaking up on him in the actual house, and you see from flashbacks she had always had some mental issues, and when Carlo was a little boy, his dad wanted to send her back to the mental institution, and she lost it and killed her
for good reason.
Killed her husband. Yeah. right in front of Carlo, and so when she was attending this psychic conference, she got nervous that somehow the psychic was going to know that it was her, and then she started a killing spree all over again.
I understand why she killed the clairvoyant and why she killed her friend.
Uh-huh.
I didn't understand why she killed some of the other people.
No, I don't see what they had anything to do with it.
Well, that one woman that she beat the hell out of and then burned her face in the tub.
Yeah.
See, that's where the Halloween 2 scene comes in, because in Halloween 2, Michael Myers turns up. They have these hospital hot tubs.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Myers takes – there's a couple that's fucking in that tub. And when the water gets cold, and then – so the guy goes to turn it up, and then Michael Myers kills her – I mean kills the guy. And then he goes back in and then sort of does that scene where he, like, you know, burns her face.
Yeah.
Burns her face off in the hot tub.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I ended up liking the movie, but it's not something that I would need to watch again. It like you said, Mike, the ending kind of made it with, you know, the twist of who it actually was and some of the backstory and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, it's very creative, but I could see how it could lose a lot of people up front.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because
it's like, what is this? Like, what? you really don't understand, like, what it is or why anything is, but it all makes sense. Like, he makes sense of it later on.
Yeah, but, I mean, like you were saying,
I think it's worth watching. I can see why it made the list, because in 1970, it's a really creative endeavor.
It's just... and I read after
plus
it was
plus it starred
over,
Paul McCartney. I mean, what could you not like Paul about McCartney. It? The lead character
like
was Paul McCartney.
The one thing that I did is afterwards I started reading just to see if I somehow missed something, like what exactly was this, you know, the basic motives and stuff. And what I read over and over again was with his types of movies, you don't go too far into using logic for a lot of this stuff. A lot of it is just more style.
It made sense from the child's perspective. I mean,
yeah,
you know, him protecting his mom and why he killed the reporter, because he only killed the reporter, I think. And then he was going to kill his friend.
Right.
And then the woman, his mother, killed all of the rest. But it really is. I mean, if you think about it, this film could have influenced Friday the 13th.
Yeah, you're
because
right.
Because it was very, very much in that vein. I mean, the whole premise of Friday the 13th, it's the first one, is the killer's not Jason.
Right.
The killer's the mother. So yeah. I could see how this movie could have influenced a lot of... Just like they say bands influence other bands, well, this movie probably could have influenced a lot of horror makers that came in the 80s.
Yeah.
Because in the 80s is when the serial killer stuff blew up here in the States.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the slasher horror.
with Jason and then Freddy. And yeah, and obviously, well, Michael Myers really started that too with Halloween being in the 70s.
Toby Cooper or whatever his name is, Texas Chainsaw was before that.
Yeah, that was in 74.
And they used the this is based on a true story thing. Very loosely based. Ed Gein only killed like two people and they were like incidental. Like I don't know if you ever watched the movie Ed Gein, but that's what it's based on. It's worth watching because if you've seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Leatherface is supposed to be Ed Gein, which is the character he's based off of.
Yeah, I heard that. But
Ed Gein's thing is he was like more of he was more in the Anthony Perkins, you know, realm of serial killing because he would dig up corpses out of the grave, and this is real, this is true, and then he would peel the skin off and then put like organs and stuff in his fridge, but they were already dead.
That's disgusting, Mike.
Yeah.
So would he be a serial killer still then?
Well, he did kill two people.
Oh, okay.
There's one scene in Ed Gein that they make in both renditions of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and that's when the FBI finds the place, mm-hmm. and they're taking pictures. You'll see that like scene is like, you know, the FBI goes into Ed Gein's house and they're like, holy crap, what is all this shit?
From what I heard is that he did also like to make furniture out of
skin and stuff. Yeah. So he was insane. He just wasn't the chainsaw wielding guy.
Yeah.
And they turned it into like a weird thing. Like, you know, Texas Chainsaw is based on a family of crazies, not just Leatherface. They're all whacked out.
Well, overall, I thought the movie was, I mean, like I said, it was enjoyable enough because of the ending. I probably would give it like a 3 out of 5 on the old Netflix scale.
I think I would go with a 4 after I saw it because
a 4.
Like I told Barb, I said, like, I was watching TV upstairs while she was downstairs. She was watching the Damien Omen 2 while I was upstairs watching this one. But because she loves Omen, like Omen is her horror movie, I think.
Did I say what the name of the movie was?
Yeah, it's Deep Throat.
No. That's a different movie.
Deep Red.
Deep Red, yes. Ronnie, that's why Ronnie didn't get to Deep Red. He thought it what really was Deep Throat.
I think if it was really Deep Throat, Ronnie would have watched it first.
Well, he did. He did watch that.
I only watched 2 minutes of that one.
That's all you needed, right?
That's all I needed.
I'm done. I'm out.
It's a 5 out of 5 for me.
Awesome.
I was just talking about that on my latest podcast. I don't think I've ever seen Deep Throat. I've seen the documentaries about Deep Throat and mm-hmm. the fictionalized biographical stories, but I've never seen Deep Throat.
Oh, well.
Something I'll have to do on this podcast sometime.
I guess so. Pick our, 'cause
it's classic. It made so much money. It kind of started off the porn industry, like where it became like huge money making.
Yeah. Well, so as you can hear, Ronnie, you missed a good one.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be on my list to check out.
You just have to know that it's very slow starting.
Just be patient. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like you could, it's one of those movies like you could be on your phone and watch the beginning and still get the gist of it. and then once it kicks into high gear, then put your phone down.
Now, because Mike,
that's when
I know
it gets
that
interesting.
You normally, I think you normally do this, but I was forced to do this because if they were talking so quiet so during so much of it, I put the subtitles on. I could not hear what the hell they were saying after, unless they were right in front of the camera. Like at the beginning when they're like talking and the camera's pulled farther away, I couldn't hear anything that they were saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm deaf in one ear, so I always watch TV with subtitles.
Yeah, I mean, I had to on this one.
The only time I don't is when it's like football or something, because like if you watch baseball, you're watching the World Series or something. The streaming of captions are always behind because the game is live.
Oh yes,
and it's annoying as hell. I'd rather just turn it off and not hear it and then just watch it.
Yeah.
But with movies, it's right on time, so I have no problem like reading the subtitles. And it is quiet. It is like a the music in this is fucking horrible.
It's because, by a prog group called the Goblins.
No, but it is not a suspenseful music. It's not like or you know, it's those things have like a creepiness to them. These were like polka music. Yeah, I'm like, what the hell is this? It could have been like a happy soundtrack. I don't know what the hell was happening. Yeah, but the payoff is at the end. And I recognize the director and writer because everybody says, watch Suspiria. So I'm like, I was telling my wife that same guy.
Yeah.
Have you seen Suspiria? Never watched it. No, I haven't.
That one kind of doesn't make any sense either. And I mean, I can tell it's the same. It's the same guy.
He's a violent son of a gun, I'll tell you that. I mean, this is 70s and the violence is pretty doggone gory. Yeah. I really like some of the deaths though. They're pretty original. Like when he kills the one girl in the tub, burns her face off. And then he curbs the one guy. And then the scene where that guy gets hooked at the back of the dump truck. Oh, my God. That's a great scene.
That was awesome.
And then the woman dies by an elevator kind of taking her. She has like a chain and
it kind of
takes off her whole head.
Yeah, the killer. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty... pretty violent. The deaths are pretty original too. I always like to see like deaths that are original and not just like that. I'm entertained.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about Ronnie's, because this one is a classic.
Yes, this was also on my list. I was able to check off.
Yeah, this is a classic that I've never seen. So
this is a classic I've seen four times.
Oh. I've seen it quite a few times.
Yeah.
Including two nights ago.
Well, I'm glad I rewatched it because I didn't remember the ending at all. Like I didn't remember it at all. So it was great rewatching it. But my first time watching it was in 1986.
Oh, wow.
And it was... I took an elective in high school, and it was a pretty awesome elective. It was called film criticism, where you get to watch a lot of, like, Alfred Hitchcock and Citizen Kane and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I started to, like, say, oh, I really like Hitchcock. Like, I really – of all the movies we watched in that, we watched, like, North by Northwest, The Birds. I can't remember if we watched another one, but – that's where I became – the only one that I really knew was Psycho, and I've seen that one so many times. Psycho, too, I've seen like, man, it's got to be in the dozens. And I think I watch it every year, even the remake with Gary Sinise. Or is it Gary Sinise?
No, it's Vince Vaughn, right?
That's right, Vince Vaughn. He's a tall dude, man. Vince Vaughn is tall. But great choice. That the lead actress is sexy, man. She is beautiful.
There's something about like the old, well, like where the version I watched was the black and white one that got redone in color.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's just a black and white one out there or not. But it's, there's just something cool about that part of it in itself. Not just the movie, but like old movies that get redone in color.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, that's like the ancient part of me, I guess. That's like, I love that, where you're getting something that you're not supposed to be getting. Like, you're not supposed to be seeing it in color, but then they redo it, and it's great.
Yeah. Did you guys notice the scene at the beginning when the woman, the lead actress, is going into the pet store that Alfred Hitchcock is walking with two dogs out?
I didn't notice it, but I I read it after the fact that
he puts himself in movies a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of like Stephen King was doing, like in Maximum Overdrive. He'll be at the ATM or something. Or
yeah.
Yeah, I kind of dig that. So every time you watch an Alfred Hitchcock, keep an eye out, see if you see him in it.
I didn't know that either, but now I'm going to have to watch it again just for that.
Yeah. This is it's such a good movie too, because you don't need to know the cause. You don't need to know if it's ever resolved. You just know it is.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
That's what makes it really good. Like, I think movies that have a beginning, middle, and end are great, but that's stereotypical. This one goes outside the norm, in my opinion.
Yep.
So run us down. This was your first time watching it.
Yeah, this was the first time. So you have Melanie, I think that was her name, right?
Yeah.
And she meets the defense attorney, Mitch. And she wants to purchase the lovebirds for her sister's 11th birthday, which, I mean...
But the key to it is she wants to purchase it maliciously, because yeah. He sort of manipulated her. She was attracted to him, and then he played a game with her like she did in the courtroom.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because she plays the prank pretending to be – to mistake her for the saleswoman, right?
Yeah.
That one? And then she's really mad by that, obviously. Then she finds herself attracted to him.
He's a good looking man.
So she buys the lovebirds for her sister, but she's ended up gonna give them to him. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she wants to surprise him, so she rents the boat to go to his house from the bayside and not from the actual roadside.
It's almost like a flirtatious prank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, because now she's like going to break into his house.
So. Yeah, she did.
And then she gets attacked by the seagull, though, after yeah. that.
Oh, yeah, when she was, yeah.
So is that like karma? Like, you just broke into somebody's house, so now, whether it's in good intentions or not, so then all of a sudden, boom, you're going to get attacked by the seagull?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the first attack, and then it just progressively gets worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's yeah. weird though, because it's when I think about the film after watching it so many times, it's almost like when those damn lovebirds arrive.
Yep.
So I'm like, what is with these lovebirds? And I'm like, oh, if you're having this thing with birds, and you're a child, and you know these birds are attacking everybody, why would you say, well, I want to protect these lovebirds? I would throw them out the door, man.
Yeah.
Because those birds weren't discriminating. It was all birds. They were attacking.
Yep. You had the seagull at first, and then you had the crows, right? Those are the most ominous ones, I guess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Those are the ones that I'd be more afraid of. Because the seagulls look cool. They at least look cool.
So, not to jump to the end, but what do you guys think about the way that they wrap it up, like the last 10 minutes of the movie?
I loved it because it's like Empire Strikes Back. It's like one of those endings that you don't know why, you don't know where it happened, you don't know anything, and it just ends. You don't even know if they're gonna make it.
No, you don't.
No, yeah.
Well, Ronnie, what do you think?
Oh, that's the coolest part, I think. I mean, there's a lot of cool things in this movie because, you know, how old it was and, like, trend setting for other films. But, yeah, that's definitely, you don't know what's going on. You don't need to know.
When I first watched it and when I was younger, I really liked it. But for whatever reason now, I don't know. I feel unsatisfied with the ending now. That's it. It's just over. I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I've seen it many times too, Mike, and I used to like the ending, but now it just doesn't do it for me.
I actually appreciate it more. So I love when films don't give you what you expect. I don't want a film that I can guess what's going to happen. This is a film that you can't guess. You don't even know why, what, where. I mean, you don't even know if it's contained.
No.
Is it really? I mean, the only time you might think it's contained is because of the radio broadcast. There's a radio broadcast at the end where they mention the area that it's infecting.
Yeah.
But you don't know if it's happening elsewhere around the world. You really don't. And that's what's amazing, is this could be like a Walking Dead. I mean, it really could be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And these are vicious birds. I mean, holy crap. They're going through walls. they went through the roof of a seal in the ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pecking their way through.
And they don't discriminate. Yeah. And usually horror films, I mean, not all the time, but a lot of the time they'll shy away from hurting kids.
Mm-hmm.
And this one doesn't do that. It just, those birds attack a room full of kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So at two places, there's a party. They attack a party. They attack a school. You know, they're stupid though. Why would you leave the school? Run for your houses! I mean,
that's what I was gonna say. When those kids are running and it's just like an all out like panic. That's scary.
That is scary, but it's terrible leadership from the teacher, I think.
Oh yeah.
But then you got to think about, holy crap! What if these birds get in? Like, you'd be trapped in the basement of the schoolroom. I don't know.
And then the sparrows went down through the chimney that
through
part?
Through the chimney, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if they killed the lovebirds, man, that everything would have stopped. That's what I think.
Yeah, because they're at the initial part, at the beginning and at the end.
Yeah. And they're in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's weird, too, because they choose the convertible. Because it's fast, it's faster, but they're going to rip that top off.
They could come through ceilings and stuff. That canvas top isn't standing a chance. Sorry.
Yeah, I would have been in the pickup truck crammed in. Because back then, pickup trucks were sturdy as hell.
Oh, yeah.
It's metal, man.
Yeah, I guess they could crack the windows. I mean, that's a classic. That's a classic movie.
And then it has like the tension too, because the school teacher had a relationship with this guy, and she's at the school teacher's room and board, if you will, like staying with her. And she's a compulsive liar. She lies to everybody. She lied to the store owner, like, what's the daughter's name? What's this? I mean, just to manipulate stuff. And then she lied to the teacher. She lied to the guy, obviously. The mother was very possessive, which is a theme in Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Yeah, even after death.
Yeah.
And they had some famous act. I mean, obviously the leads were, you know, old school actors, Rod Taylor and Tippi Hedren, but Jessica Tandy was the his Rod Taylor's mother, from Jessica Tandy from Driving Miss Daisy.
Where is she? So, which part was she?
She was the Rod Taylor, the main Mitchell's mom.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was Jessica Tandy. That was interesting to see her, you know, before she had the stark white hair and was 90 years old, or however old she was in those 80s movies.
Was this Tippi's first role, or?
That I don't know.
I don't know. It just said introducing Tippi or something, I thought, in the credits.
Could have been.
Did you watch the color version?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mine was in color, yeah.
So we all watched the recolored one?
Yeah, I watched it because it was on. I don't have. What is the service you guys have?
Shudder.
Shudder. I don't have that. So I saw that it was on BBC America. And it was pretty awesome because there were like no commercials. Actually, Barb found it on BBC America. She's sitting here yelling at me like, I did it. You didn't even look for it, you dumbass.
Well, that's cool. It worked out then.
It worked out good too, because I thought when you do like the DirecTV type on demand, you can't usually fast forward through the commercials, and there were no commercials. There was like two interruptions of commercials, and that was it. That was a long film.
Yeah, it was longer than I anticipated, for sure.
That was her first starring role. She had only been in one movie before, 13 years prior, as an uncredited, probably small role.
And that's what I thought, because it said introducing her. Like it.
Yep.
She didn't even have top billing. It said introducing Tippi, even though she.
Yeah, so that was her thing. That was the start of her career.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did a good. I was glad to rewatch it because it's been at least 5-6 years since I rewatched it, and I forgot the ending entirely.
Yeah, this one is actually one of the reasons why I went ahead and pulled the trigger and get Shudder.
I hear
they have all of Hitchcock's movies.
Yeah, they
this
have
month.
Rear Window too. I saw that.
Yeah, that's recent, Ronnie. They just got those this month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't have any Hitchcock movies before that.
Oh, well, I signed up at the right time then.
Yeah,
how do you
did.
Sign up for it? On AOL? I mean, not AOL. Amazon? Because I couldn't find it.
It's Shudder.com, right?
Oh, you have to go there directly? See, I
signed up through Amazon, but Mike, you can't. They just sent me emails. Amazon's no longer taking subscriptions. And they also said that if you had already signed up through Amazon, you may not be getting all, like, when they add more movies. You may not be seeing that, but like I have a Fire TV, so I downloaded it. I never did this before. I just went through Amazon for the Shudder. It would have like a little icon in the Amazon Prime for Shudder, but I added the actual Shudder app. So I can.
Oh, is it
I
because Shudder is going away from Amazon, or is that what's happening?
It sounds like it's. I mean, Shudder makes it sound like it's Amazon's choice, not Shudder's. But I don't know exactly what the reason is. But they
that's
were.
Why, that's probably why I couldn't find it, because
Yeah.
I was looking. You know how they'll have like, okay, we're streaming Stars. You can get this. You can get that. I was like, why don't they have a horror option and like
Yep.
Shudder?
Yeah,
And I
they.
couldn't find it.
Yeah, I just got it recent. Just got an email recently saying that, for whatever reason, Amazon isn't accepting new
So
subscriptions.
I was gonna rent it for like $3, but then it I was like, wow, Barb found it, so
Yeah.
it was good deal. So, any other closing thoughts on the Birds?
No, I'm glad I finally watched it, since it's a huge classic, and I'm sure it'll be something that I'll keep watching.
Before
Yeah.
we go to the next one, what other do you have any other big Alfred Hitchcock movies, Ronnie, that you haven't seen that maybe you're going to check out, or no?
Nothing that like stands out. I'm sure I'll watch some, but there's not one prominent one that
North
like
by
I need to check
Northwest, I would highly recommend.
You've seen Psycho?
Yeah.
Have you seen Rear Window or no?
No, I haven't seen
that.
That
One
one's
is
worth
amazing,
it too.
so. Yeah.
Vertigo is another good one.
I have to rewatch Vertigo. I didn't care
Vertigo,
for it much the first time I saw
North
it.
by Northwest is, man, that's a good one.
That's good. I haven't seen that one at
Yeah.
all. So I'll have
That
to check
one's
that.
more suspense and thriller than horror.
Well, even
But
Rear Window is too, you know, when you think of
yeah.
yeah.
But you could kind of think of North by Northwest as an action movie too, because there's a lot
Yeah.
of action in it.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be checking out some for sure.
Yeah. Got some good movies that you can watch for free now with the service.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it really technically free?
You just
I
make
know.
it make it so you get your money's worth.
Yeah,
Exactly.
right.
What
Yeah.
is the subscription cost to it?
It's like $4.99, I think.
So if
Yeah.
you watch one, that's a rental. So you just
Yeah.
have to watch one a month and you've
Yeah.
justified your cost.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at DC Universe. I watch one episode of Titans and it's 1 hour and I like it. It's worth the cost to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Plus, they have some weird stuff in there, like Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love. Like, that book is hard to find. I've only seen one in print, and it was like for $400, and I didn't want to pull the trigger on it. And they have it digitally, and I'm like, wow, this is a weird title to have out there. Because I love romance, and when they mix romance with gothic horror, I dig it.
That was the
So,
Dead Man one, right? Or no?
No, this one, oh, that was the current one. The current one
Okay.
played off the 1970 series. That Dead Man one in the deluxe format that just came out like a year ago.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
that one played off this original series. And the
Okay.
original series is available on DC Universe. So that's really cool. But let's talk Trick or Treats, because this movie surprised the hell out of me. I didn't even tend to watch it, but have you guys ever watched like April Fool's Day?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
That movie was really freaking amazing because it had a ridiculousness about it, and you have to take it seriously, but it's not serious. And it's pretty amazing because they're all invited to an island and there's these killings and it turns out to be a game.
Yeah.
But it was really suspenseful. This one this one's hilarious because I've never freaking seen this before. A rich guy is sort of neglecting his wife. You know, he's sitting there reading the Wall Street Journal and she always talks to him. He never listens, but she's having an affair with David Carradine, that sexy guy from Kung Fu. And she gets him committed to an insane asylum for, like, no reason.
You know what? I totally forgot that that's how it started.
Yeah, that is the weirdest shit. And then it has, like, this crazy chase scene where these two guys in white coats are just, like, having a fight scene by the pool with this guy. It's ridiculous.
You
it's
can't almost... tell me that you weren't laughing.
I what? Was laughing.
They're
I was like...
in and out of the swimming pool.
Me and Barb were like, what is this? Like, what is this? I didn't expect it to be like this at all. And then it turns into like a Adventures in Babysitting horror movie. And yeah. I thought it was ridiculously fun. Like, it was very innovative and stupid at the same time. I just dug it. It like hit the spot for me. Like,
oh my God. It for me, it wasn't what I was expecting. I think it was too silly for me. I was expecting something a little more on the horror side.
Yeah.
And
I
just,
loved it.
It just didn't, obviously it wasn't, but yeah,
but it was, there was death.
But it wasn't scary.
Either was Halloween.
Oh, Halloween was, that was scary. It was tense. No. It was suspenseful.
This was suspenseful. You had a crazy guy coming to kill his family. I thought it was fantastic. What did you think, Rod? You said you didn't like it.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly didn't love it. It didn't do it for me.
I want to go back to the birds. What would you give the birds? We didn't rate it.
Birds I give probably because again for whatever reason I didn't like the ending. I probably give it a 3.5 out of 5. So between really liking it and liking it.
You can't click a 3.5 on Amazon, on Netflix.
If
you
could
click
me,
a 4 or a 3.
Listen to you. If you forced me into that, then it would be a 4.
Okay. I forced you. Yeah, how about you, Ronnie?
The birds is definitely... it's going to get a 5 out of 5 for me. Because
yeah,
I loved it that much.
For me, too. Because I just am a sucker for Alfred Hitchcock. I just am. He is the master of suspense. Yes. I like him better than the Italian guy, I'll tell you that. The Italian guy has a pretentiousness about him, I think. With his camera angles, Alfred Hitchcock does something very similar. He'll like zoom in and zoom out, but I don't know, it just seems more like he's putting you in the perspective of you being in there, and I like it. There's no fake portraits of Barr in it. So I give it a 5 out of 5. 2 5s out of 5 and 1 forced 4 out of 5.
Wow.
He's forcing it into the 4 out of 5. Because he's rounding. So if it was a 3.4, you would have rounded down.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what you're going to give my film.
Oh, you don't want to know.
Go ahead.
Well, I haven't heard what Ronnie likes about this movie.
Yeah, Ronnie, did you like it, or were you entertained, or did you think it was stupid?
Are you not entertained?
I was entertained. But I don't know if it would... It's like one of those... I know what you did last summer type dumbness things that was... Where you're entertained and you're watching it and... You're laughing about it, unlike, you know, being suspenseful about it.
I will say that the very end of the movie, the very, very end, when the screen froze.
Yeah.
That was, I wasn't expecting that.
Well, the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is he's taking over for dad?
Taking over for dad, but dad never did anything wrong. I love this movie. I think it's fantastic. I give it a 5 out of 5, but I love quirkiness.
A 5 out of 5?
Yes, I love quirkiness, man.
Did we watch the same movie?
No, I just I love movies that I don't get what I expect. I didn't know what to expect, and I got something different, and I like it. I expected a horror movie, a slasher film, and what I got is a comedy, and I loved it. I loved it for that. I love the acting. I love how wacky David Carradine is. I mean, the babysitter shows up to take care of this kid from hell.
Yeah, what the hell is going on with him?
Well,
His
he's worse
wife's
than a
right in the
kid.
other room.
He's worse than a kid from hell. Oh yeah, and then the babysitter's there, and he's like unbuttoning her blouse and trying to hit on her. And I guess that's okay in the 70s,
It's
because
not okay now.
she like brushes it off. Oh, I'm getting paid. It's okay if you touch my tit. It's
Yeah.
okay. And your wife's in the other room coming in, and you already know that the wife is malicious.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put
And
it past the
she
wife
saw
for.
that. I mean, she saw what was
She
going on there.
saw it, and she's like, "Oh, we got a Halloween party to go to." And they didn't even get killed. They went to their Halloween party and had a blast.
Yes, they did.
And they come back to a murder scene. But I dig how they committed the husband, and then even at the insane asylum, it's just crazy. I mean, it's just crazy. They have a reporter there. The guy steals the nurse's outfit. Bless you. Every
Bless
geek brunch you have to do that.
you.
Damn. It just doesn't go. Like it's part of the show.
Yeah.
He takes the girl's bra. He takes her, and she's aroused, by the way, because when she's getting interviewed later, he like threw me down. He took all my clothes off, and she's got this huge smile on her face. And then he dresses up as a nurse and escapes the asylum. And he kills a guard, and then he gets caught with where he needs to get clothing, and he steals a bum's clothes, and he has to get the underwear too. He's like, take the under. I mean, who'd want a bum's underwear? I mean, he wants all of it. He wants the un this the stinky ass underwear. He could still be in his panties or whatever he's wearing, and put pants over it, but he steals the guy. He says, though, no, I want the underwear too. Oh my God, this guy's insane. And then he
Well,
breaks out, going to all, he only has one goal. He wants to kill his wife for what she did. And
yeah.
he gets there and he kills one of the babysitter's friends because she just coincidentally at the wrong place at the wrong time. And then he tries to kill the babysitter and it doesn't work out. I mean, that stupid kid has a guillotine in his room. That's pretty badass. He's like a
Well, he's a
magician.
magician.
He has all this Houdini stuff, and he's playing jokes with guns and knives and all kinds of stuff. And that guillotine plays into his father's death, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did. I think his head gets caught in there. So, and then he's got the Jason Voorhees thing at the end where she's calling the police, everything's calm, and then the kid jumps out with a knife at the end, like
Yeah.
he's gonna kill
Now,
her.
is it going to be a fake knife to fake her out again, or is he really killing her? We'll
I
never
don't
know.
know. He was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that listening to you talk about it was more enjoyable than actually watching
Exactly. I definitely love Mike's version better.
Yeah.
Well, I love to get fooled, and that's why I love the birds, because I don't like predictable stuff. That's why I like Titans, because it's so different. If it was the same thing as the
Yeah,
comic, I would
well, it
not
could be
dig it as
different in
much.
good or different in bad.
It could be different and bad,
Yeah,
but in this
I'm not
case,
saying
it's
that,
different and good.
you're not entitled to think that it's good. I'm just saying different alone doesn't make it good.
Well, it reminded me of April Fool's Day, and I got a fond memory of that because April Fool's Day had the wit. But it had April Fool's Day had the horror because you didn't know if it was the girl that was from the insane asylum. They led you to believe it was the twin from the insane asylum, and then everybody there, it was really a huge prank, and that's what made it even better. This was just wacky. This, and plus it had kung fu in it. I mean, how could you not like David Carradine kung fu in there, flirting with all those women, and he didn't even get killed.
No, not at all.
Didn't only the guard get killed? The guard and this, the girl's friend that used to make horror movie. That was such a bad horror movie. They're making like this B film, maybe C film vampire movie that they're editors for, because they're film editors. The one girl that died would edit films for this really bad videotape place. And that was even fascinating because the film on that was really bad. It was like watching a bad porn. It was the kind of plot. It was horrible.
Well, you're giving this a 5 out of 5?
I am, yeah.
5 out of 5? Mine is a 2 out of 5.
I thought that you would. Your response would be that.
Yeah. What does Ronnie say?
I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5, but Mike's version gets a 5 out of 5.
Oh yeah, Mike's version definitely gets a 5 out of 5.
Okay.
I mean, I liked it and I enjoyed it, but you know, I don't know if I'll revisit it.
Yeah.
I think it's great if you want to be entertained. I didn't say a horror entertainment. I just. It's from 1982.
Yeah.
The bulk of the film was shot at the home of the cast member, which is Carrie Snodgrass. So it was filmed there. The film had a $55,000 budget, and the guy put his own. He put up $30,000 of his own money, and then had to do the rest by investment.
Wow.
And it took him only 3 weeks to make the movie, and it was all done at night.
We got some backstory.
I'm pretty sure he made a profit.
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
huh?
Most of these horror films do.
Yeah.
You don't have to make a lot of money.
Let's see if it has the box office. So it says it said the budget, but it doesn't list how much it made. That sucks. I'm always interested in that, especially with horror films, because they always seem to make more than they cost, which is what you want to do.
Yeah. I was busy this week though, because apart from watching these, we had a friend over that had never seen the original Night of the Living Dead. So we watched that on Wednesday on a DVD.
Oh, you're talking about the original.
Yeah, from 68.
I thought you were watching Return of the Night of
the Living. We went to the movie theater, on the following day on Thursday night to see Return of the Living Dead on the big screen. They had a one-night showing of Return of the Living Dead. But since this – we had gone we went with another couple there. And since they hadn't seen Night of the Living Dead, they came over the night before to our house to watch the original one. And then not that you have to, but just because I hadn't seen it. And then we all went to see Return of the Living Dead the following night. So both of those I enjoy very much. Return of the Living Dead. Ronnie, have you seen Return of the Living Dead from the 80s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
Definitely not the, you know, best in terms of quality movie. I give it a 10 out of 10, a 5 out of 5, whatever thing. It's like one of my favorite horror movies ever. It's
the sexiest.
I mean,
it's
funny.
Because of the graveyard scene. That's why.
Trash is taking off her clothes again.
Yeah, that's why. That's why you really like it.
Oh, it is just such
That's
a
when
good
you watch it in slow it's, frame.
It's funny too. It's like
it is. It's a weird horror movie because it's making fun of, but the special effects are better.
Yeah, but it not making fun of like in a bad way. It's really like you could tell these people. Well, it's the guy who directed it was the screenwriter for the original Alien too.
Well, he was friends with George Romero.
Yeah,
they had an outing, is what happened. So
you have to know that, you know, he's got some love for the genre, you know.
Yeah, they flipped the rules of what a zombie was.
Yeah.
To go back to the birds, though,
yeah,
the budget for that was $3.3 million back then. That's
wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But does it say how much they made? Did it?
Yeah,
say
they made $12 million.
Yeah.
At the box office.
Yeah, I mean, this is Alfred Hitchcock, you know.
And you know what they don't say is how much they've made over the years. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's all box office. Because a lot of people have seen The Birds, probably not from the theater.
Sure.
Yeah.
On a movie channel or on a cable station or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But,
They have a good movie called Hitchcock. I'd highly recommend.
Did I see that? I might have seen that. Yeah,
that,
I think
that is good. That's a really good movie.
That sounds familiar.
That sounds familiar. I think you guys talked about it before.
Yeah.
Or Mike's talked about it before.
Yeah, I saw it at the theater. I go to the movies a lot. I like the movies because you don't get distracted at all.
Yeah.
Your phone's off. You're plugged. You're one-on-one with the movie in a bucket full of popcorn.
Oh, yeah. Butter popcorn.
And now you can get beer at our theater, which is different. It's a Cinemark, and now they have beer.
I don't know if I tweeted this or if I put it on the Discord channel, but like our local theater in town. So like when we went to see Halloween, we had to go to the town that is 30 miles away where we both work at.
Mm-hmm.
But they're redoing our theater and putting in the luxury seats and everything.
Mm.
But they're also putting in a sidebar.
That's what ours is.
What chain is it, Ronnie?
It's B&B.
Oh, okay.
So it's just, I think it's just here in the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
But, and I questioned or asked the question to the other guys. I was like, I know like in Chicago, like when we go to C2E2 and we go to a movie, like you can order a beer when you watch the movie. So I knew that was a thing, but I didn't know like a sidebar. You can actually go there and just drink and hang out. I never knew, but yeah. I never seen that.
We have a AMC here that has, you know, the seating and all that stuff, and before the show it shows like, you know, scenes from theaters and stuff, and like you said, like a whole bar, and you see somebody sitting in their seat for the movie with a glass of wine like next to them. But we do not have any type of bar in our particular location, which I was hoping that maybe they would add. That would be awesome.
Well, when I go back to Albuquerque, there's a theater that me and my father-in-law go to all the time. That's a bar. It's a microbrew that has a theater, so it really is a bar, and then it just has a theater, and then you can order food and drink while the movie's going on. You just sort of fill out a piece of paper, and they come by every now and then and just bring you beer. And
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, and it's a full menu, too, so you can order anything you want. It's quite expensive after you're done with the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's still have the movie theater prices. Experience, you know.
I wonder how much a mixed drink at a movie theater would be. $15.
Yeah,
least.
Yeah, at least.
That's crazy.
And probably beers are like, you know, beers that you would get like at prices that you would get at like the stadiums and stuff. I would assume too.
Yeah.
Oh, they're expensive at games. Holy crap. Food in general. You go to a ball game, a pro ball game, you're going to drop $100 just on stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not even eating a lot. You could be hungry after you're done.
Yeah. That's just on a beer and nachos.
Yeah, that's just that. Yeah. It's incredible. I think the last time we went, we had great seats. We saw the Rockies when they were hot and going to the playoffs, and what area of seating did we have? Because we were club seating, but we had to we got some ice cream. It was like almost $12. And then we got, I forget what else, the hot dog and something else. And it was like a lot. It was like $20.
Well, my wife will be happy that we've done this episode and that I finished watching the Haunting of Hill House and so on, because she is tired of me commandeering the TV to watch horror movies.
Do you have just one TV?
Yeah, we got one upstairs in the bedroom, but she's been reading a lot, which is fine, but she doesn't, if it's a scary, like for Hill House, she didn't even want to be in the room.
See, even you could have broke her in with this Trick or Treat movie.
Yeah,
it would have been light fun, and she would have been entertained, and then you ease her into the other stuff.
Exactly. And she'd be like, "What the hell?"
We thought it was funny. It was a great comedy.
Well, I'm glad you really enjoyed it.
But Barb didn't want to finish your movie.
No, she was.
What did you think of Rob's movie, Barb?
She was terribly bored.
She said she didn't think of it.
She didn't think of it at all.
But the other thing you liked the birds and the other one.
Did she get to the point where the guy got his head ran over by the truck?
Or no, was she out then? No, she missed the last 15 minutes, which.
Yeah.
She missed the last 40 minutes, and the last. I would say the last 20 minutes are when shit starts to happen.
Yeah.
Like where a lot of it is in the 40 minutes. The first 20 minutes are him finding that house and chiseling the picture. And he realizes that the house has been like made over for some reason. I didn't understand that. Like,
no,
he like sees a picture of the house and then there's a window and he's like, well, there's a window. And then he almost falls off the balcony.
I mean, it seemed like he was doing all these different things that I had no idea what relation the original murder had anything to do with. Like,
yeah.
Both the pianist and like you said, who the woman was killing. Like, it didn't seem to have anything to do with anything. Like, I had no idea what was going on. But yeah. I was, you know, along for the ride, just watching it.
Yeah, I fell asleep. It was slow. I got to the 1 hour point and I said, oh shit, there's 40 more minutes. I think I'll watch it in the morning. But yeah. I ended up watching it really late last night. But I did watch a good movie, another good one, Swamp Thing.
Oh God, I haven't seen that in so long. Is that on your DC Universe app?
Oh, I watched it on, God, I forget what that station is. It was on cable, on a DirecTV. Every now and then we get a free view of like Sony HD channel or something like that. Or
yeah,
it's either the MGM HD channel.
So it's and not it was on. It was it's on not there. On DC
it probably universe. Is, but I have no way right now of me to stream. Like Samsung TVs don't have a DC Universe app. And gotcha. I haven't hooked up a Chromecast or anything to stream yeah. anything from it. So yeah. I watched it on the big screen TV on the station. But I liked that movie. I mean, that movie kind of started comic book movies in my opinion, because I remembered being so excited reading comic scene and seeing the costume that Swamp Thing was going to be in. yeah, it looks kind of goofy now. It looks like a wetsuit. They improved on the suit in the second one, but the first one it's sort of pretty bad, but it's such a cool, it's an interesting plot. I liked it. It plays off on
I remember liking it.
Yeah, it has Adrian Barbeau. It has Ray Weiss, who's been in so many things. And I didn't even realize it was him until I saw him in the credits. Like, I never paid attention that Alec Holland was going to be Ray Weiss. And it was good, and it must have done well at the box office because it spawned a sequel in a USA TV show. So, and now we're going to get a DC Universe Swamp Thing, which is probably going to be much better than the old TV show. But it is Wes Craven, and he did write it, too. He didn't just direct it. He wrote it.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's on Prime, but I'd have to rent it. It's the only thing that I can see right now.
Yeah, it's the only place I see it, too.
Did you check GC Universe?
No, I didn't check that.
I'm checking it right now. Search. I still have to watch Titans this week.
Yeah, me too.
TV and movies. Found three instances. Not too impressed with the website.
No?
The search capabilities are kind of rough.
Mm. Well, like I said before, when they start getting some extra original content, it starts, you know, there's a backlog there for me, then I'll end up getting the service. But right now I have enough other stuff that I could watch, so I'll just wait for Titans and Swamp Thing and all that stuff to be out, and then I'll probably get it next year.
Yeah, it doesn't have it, surprisingly.
That's one they could definitely add. That would be a nice addition.
Well, they could add the TV show, too, because I haven't seen all of those. I used to record some of them on USA Network. I remember I had them on VHS. But hopefully they'll add them at some point.
Yeah.
But I'd recommend, if you're into horror and romance, to check out that Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love, because they have the first four issues. And the reason I say that is because they are damn expensive and rare. They're not in the $1,000 range, but you're going to pay a couple $100 for each issue.
Yeah. And I own one issue of that series, and that's it.
Do you own one of the first four? Or the after
no.
Dark Man? They changed the title after the first one.
Yeah, no, I've got like, I don't know, like, you know, what did it change to?
It Forbidden Tales? To Forbidden Tales of Dark Mansion.
Yeah, I got the last issue, number 15.
Yeah.
That's the only one I own.
Yeah, I read the tale, The Mystery of the Missing Bride, and that was interesting because it was about a woman gets married and she mysteriously dies. And
cover is awesome.
Oh, they all are awesome. Look at them. And that's what Ronnie was talking about when DC recreated the Dead Man series with this title. They paid tribute to the covers as well, because these covers are pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
So, at some point, I would like to get these, but I don't want these in a crappy condition. I kind of want them in a finer, better, and they're tough to get. And the artist is Tony DeZanuga, who did a lot of the Western DC stuff, like Jonah Hex and stuff, and he's really good. I mean, the art is pretty freaking amazing in the first issue. And it's one of those crazy issues where this girl just shows up at the burial of her friend, and they're like, "Who are you? Why are you here?" Because it's a rich family. And they said, "I was her best friend." And they said, "Nobody's ever heard of you." And she gets offered a job for some weird reason to stay there. And it's like a malicious... The aunt thinks she might know something, so she hires her so she can watch her. Because the family is killing... They're killing each other, essentially, for money. And that's what's happening, is this guy got married, and she found out stuff about him, and the aunt started killing... The aunt killed the husband's mom and dad, and it gets really deep. There's a lot of murder over money, and then this woman's caught up into it. The only thing that's creepy is she starts having an affair with her friend's husband. You know, he's widowed now, but I'm talking about less than 5 days widowed. I mean, what kind of friend is that? I don't know. But DC romance comics are great, so this kind of has that. And it's got that horror theme because of all the murder.
Michael, first issue,
yeah,
is being sold on Super World Comics.
Yeah,
very fine plus for $84.
Ah,
that's a pretty good price.
You sent me some links to the other one too.
Yeah, I'm a very bad influence.
Why don't you buy something? Now, you bought something very big that you're keeping on the low.
I bought enough.
No, but you're keeping it on the low, my friend.
What am I keeping? Which one? Avengers?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to, you know, this was a horror episode, so.
But you've got that. It's a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
An expensive issue.
It was expensive.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
But you have caps.
Ronnie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I bought Avengers number 4.
Yeah.
I got it on Comic Link.
And you paid a pretty price for it too, right?
It's a 5.0. Which, actually, for a 5.0... There any sites that I saw just outright selling it, they're charging more than what I got for it for 4.0s. So I feel like I did pretty well. But yeah, it was a pretty penny.
There was did you tweet it out?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Because somebody else that I follow on there got an Avengers 2, but I don't remember what number it was, but it was a really low one.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, I love, you know, I'd like to get a full run of the original Cap series from, you know, how it started with number 100.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm only missing a few more. So I'm like, well, if I got that, I got to get the first Silver Age appearance. So I finally was able to pull the trigger.
Nice.
Which was nice, yeah.
Nice.
But Mike, this Dark Mansion, that's a for very fine, that looks like a good price.
I'll look at it.
Yeah.
I have spent a lot lately, so
it doesn't
I'm
have
to
a picture
the
of the
pool.
Yeah. It doesn't have a picture of the cover, you'd have to ask for one. They have no problem sending scans.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that.
I almost
right now they have
Arizona,
a fall sale going
but it
on
was,
too.
I think it was 185.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
well, they have a sale going on in Superworld. The regular price is 120, and they're asking 84. And I think the sale goes until November 1st. No, till November 12th. All their books are 10 to 50% off. So
do you guys have any other horror Halloween things you want to share?
I don't. I think that's it. Like I said, it was nice to see Return of the Living Dead in the theater. That was a lot of fun. Just because I'd seen it so many times on TV.
I wouldn't mind seeing that one cemetery scene again. Big
screen. Oh, it's nice on the big screen. So able to appreciate everything a lot more.
We have a few questions from Mr. Nick Wetmore.
Oh, boy.
One of them is Halloween-based, and I think the other two are not so much. But since it's Halloween-y is close, and I have some Teen Titan fan here on Retro, gotta ask,
Where's Trigon?
I guess where he is currently. I guess that's what he's asking. The last time I saw Trigon was in Phantom Stranger. I don't remember him anywhere recently. Do you guys?
Was he popping up at all in either one of the Raven?
He did show up in the Raven series.
Didn't
yeah,
he?
Both of
yeah.
them.
The one that's still going on, right?
That's what I thought. The Daughter of Darkness. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't remember exactly what was going on with him, but I thought I remembered seeing him in relation to those weird looking, no mouth, no nose, just big eye.
Yeah.
Sisters in quotes that she has.
Maybe he'll make an appearance in the TV show too.
Yeah, I was wondering
because
maybe
Raven is pretty freaking creepy in this show.
Yeah, she is.
When she looks in the mirror and sees that like demon, that's pretty freaky shit.
Yeah, the porcelain side of her.
Yeah, and when she loses control of her body, that's scary as shit. Like if she killed that guy, I mean it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's really dark. But Raven should be, but I when I read the comics, I never got like the horror aspect of it, even though it was very demon related. On the TV show, I get it. Like it's pretty like possession,
dark and demonic,
exorcist type thing. He then asked, when did Kingpin stop using his cigarette holder and rifle cane? Rob, you should know that. You've been reading a lot of it lately.
Well, you can tell that he's reading old, later Silver Age, getting into Bronze Age Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because I have been too, so I saw a lot of that. But I don't remember seeing a lot of that after the very early Bronze Age. Yeah. After the Bronze Age, right?
I think like after, I don't know, it was towards the middle of the Bronze Age where I think the J. Jonah Jameson stopped smoking the cigar, a bunch of stuff, Nick Fury. Right.
He put those away. He was concerned about his health with the cigarette holder for sure. And once he started stop smoking and stuff, he was able to walk up and down the stairs without a cane, so... Put that stuff away.
That's right.
You know?
That was like a woman cigarette holder. He has in the
He's very fancy.
Yeah, very fancy.
Very prestigious.
He then asked, what's the next dream omnibus you would like to see solicited?
That's interesting.
I know which one I would like, just because I'm starting to reread it again, is Secret Six. I'd like that collected, like, from beginning to end, everything, and just one freaking huge, big-ass DC hardcover.
That would be nice. I think, for me, I think because they kept on teasing Milestone, I'd like to see some Milestone omnibuses. Where they reprint all the old Milestone stuff, because I'm very uneducated with most of it, so I'd like to buy those and read the whole thing.
You would think that with as much diversity of lines that DC's using right now, that they would say, we have this diverse line of books that Milestone is launching.
Yeah.
And it appeals to diverse characters. Because they have one for kids, they have one for adults, you know, the Black Label, they have one for teenagers, they have stuff for everything.
Mike, they announced, what did they announce, Milestone last year at New York?
Yeah.
I think. And then we've heard nothing about it since.
And they even said like four titles. I think they even named like four.
And now it's been over a year, and they've launched 3,657 other lines, but still haven't heard anything more about Milestone. I mean, my goodness, they have more lines of books than I think any other publisher that I've ever seen, but still no Milestone.
All right. Well, I think we could do one quick lightning round. What is your favorite vampire movie? Who wants to go first?
Oh, I got to think about that for a second.
The Lost Boys for me.
God, that's a good one.
Okay, I know mine. Fright Night.
That's mine too. I'm surprised that you do Fright Night though, because it has a comedic tone to it.
Yeah, but I mean, Return of the Living Dead did too. A lot of it, I mean, there's no doubt, a lot of it has to do with when you first see it,
Oh
at
yeah,
least for me.
well,
So, like, I saw
it's
those when I
actually
was a kid.
terrifying. The scariest part of Fright Night for me is when he looks across the window and he realizes, "Fuck, I've got a vampire next door," and he murdered the girl that was there.
Yeah.
And then when he throws the apple, I mean, it's just simple things. When Dandridge goes outside and he bites through the whole core of the apple and he throws it right where he thinks he's spying on him because he
Yeah.
knows he's there. I'm
Yeah.
like, holy shit, Charlie. You gotta get the hit. You gotta get the shit
Yeah.
out of here. And then you got Evil Ed. I mean, that's so
Evil
great.
Ed.
Yeah.
Listen to what you can get. You can watch for free with your Shudder subscription. You're So Cool, Brewster, The Story of Fright Night.
Oh my God. Is
It's
that.
a documentary
I gotta watch this. But I
about
don't
the
have
making of
Shudder.
Fright
I
Night.
gotta see if
Yeah.
I could.
They always have free trials. You could do a free
Yeah.
trial.
Oh my God, I gotta see that. I love
Yep.
that movie so much.
You're
So wow, two
so
Fright
cool,
Nights and a Lost
Brewster.
Boys. Lost Boys is definitely up there for me. It's gotta
Yeah,
be in
that's a
my
good one
top.
too.
And the soundtrack for Lost Boys is badass.
Yeah, it
Man,
is.
oh my God, that's definitely the best vampire soundtrack ever. And
Oh
such
yeah, that's a
cool
good one.
vampires, Kiefer and those other rock star
Oh yeah.
vampires.
Yeah.
Classic lines, the Corys, Frog Brothers. Oh man, that's good. And plus they have comic books in that one.
Yeah.
The
Yep.
Frog Brothers worked at a comic store their parents own.
Yeah.
How could you not like it?
That's right.
Yeah, and the
No, those are two good
saxophone
ones.
player.
If you want to get a little bit more serious, I really enjoy Let the Right One In.
Yeah,
Both
that.
the American version and the original version.
I like the original more.
I like the original version more, but I still think that the other one was pretty
I
decent.
like the original better from the kid's perspective, the one that is actually the vampire.
The vampire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was
And
so different. It's got an originality to it that's pretty doggone good.
oh yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. It's a li it's definitely like when you think about it, it's a kind of a sad, depressing ending because I just assume that this boy is now just going to end up like that, like the older man was taking care of
Taking
this
care of the
vampire
other,
the rest of his life now, you know?
yep.
And you saw how that ended, so
Yeah, that's a good one.
you know?
The Untold Tales of Dracula is good. That's like Brian Cull or Cullen Bunn's Brothers Dracul. And it goes into the Vlad Tepes area of.
I haven't seen that
It
one.
it's interesting because it starts off as more of a nonfiction, and then it goes crazy at the halfway point. So it starts off with an historical version of him, and then it turns into the vampire piece. The other classic is Salem's Lot for me. That was really good.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
When
That's
you
a good
see
one.
the kid's brother floating outside the window,
Yes.
oh my God, that's terrifying. Plus, he had
Yes.
such a Nosferatu look, like one of the scariest. Instead of romanticizing like what a vampire looks like, the vampire in Salem's Lot is no shit, pretty scary, man.
Yeah, that's definitely like the original, like Nosferatu, like you said, that version of a vampire. Another one, if you go more of an action type one, is what the hell is it? Oh, From Dusk Till Dawn. I
Oh,
love that one.
that's also a
Yeah.
classic. That's in my
Yeah.
top
Yeah.
five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another one I'd recommend, Shadow of the Vampire. That one has Willem Dafoe, and it's like a what if tale. It's like what if the original Nosferatu was being filmed, and it was really a vampire in the filming of that movie. And it's fascinating.
A good movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's really a vampire, so when they're filming Nosferatu in Germany or wherever the hell it was, he's really feeding off people.
They think they're making a movie. He's really about a vampire. He really is a vampire.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How about werewolf movies? If you had to recommend one.
Werewolf movies.
American Werewolf in London for me.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that and The Howling like seem to go hand in hand with me. But, I mean, I actually, believe it or not, I really like the first, the Wolfman, the old 1940s
Lon Chaney.
Wolfman. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
like,
a good one.
I mean, yeah, it's from the 40s. It's like nothing that is going to be frightening like to today's audience. But I just appreciate it. I think it's a really fun movie to watch.
Well, there was that one with Jack Nicholson called Wolf. That was pretty good.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And I think there's one called War Dogs or Wolf. I can't remember what the hell it's called. And that turned out to be a good werewolf movie. And then there's the Underworld stuff.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Underworld.
Yeah.
Nobody mentioned Twilight, so that's good.
Yeah, that's
Dog
good.
Soldiers. That's what that one's called.
Dog Soldiers?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good werewolf movie.
Monster Squad.
Oh, I haven't seen that in forever.
I have never seen it, and I keep hearing great things
about
it. What? Is it good? I keep hearing how... No. It's good, huh?
That's your homework.
All right.
There's actually a documentary about it, about the making of it, too. That's awesome, too.
I keep hearing that it was really good, so I'll have to check it out.
All right, so what? Couple more. What would be your favorite slasher film?
That is like so. I mean, there's just so many of those.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the original Friday the 13th because that movie made me jump so high off of my seat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until the very end. It's like, but I was literally 3 feet off my seat. So it scared the hell out of me because it's one of those ones. Oh, here's the calm music. The girl's floating on the river and then the Jason jumps out of the water and scared the shit out of me.
I'm going to say Nightmare on Elm Street 4. And only because my dad worked nights, my mom worked second shift, mm-hmm. and I went to the theater and saw it, and I came home and deconstructed my waterbed right then.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
You got that scared, huh?
Yeah, I was like, nope, ain't doing it. Got the water hose out.
I have to mention this just because you really got scared. Like, but the movie that scared the shit out of me was Witchboard.
That classic one
had to do with the Ouija board, and it had to do with an axe killer that they called back from the dead. And the reason it scared the shit out of me is because I was at Barb's house. This was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I was driving home, and I looked in the side view. I looked in the rear view mirror, and I saw that fucker in the back of my car. And I know he wasn't there, but I shit my pants almost. I have to pull over. I'm like, what the fuck? The guy's in the goddamn mirror. What the hell? Why did I see this?
I love that movie too. And it, of course, it also stars wonderful actress Tawny Kitaen.
Oh yeah, Whitesnake.
Whitesnake video.
Well, she was actually married to the singer for a while.
Oh, was she? Is that why she was in there?
Yeah.
I probably, and maybe it's just because it's. Well, let me ask you, does Psycho count as a slasher movie? Because that would be my favorite. Okay, then it's definitely Psycho. Yeah, I love that.
I'm surprised you knew what Witchboard was, though.
Me? Oh, yeah. God. Well, think about it. We're close to the same age.
Yeah.
And so, like, you think of the cable, like the, you know, mid-80s cable channels and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was playing Witchboard, you know, a lot. So I checked it out there, and I loved it.
I don't know what happened that night, but it seems so real. Like, it. I don't know what that movie put in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't tell you how scared it was. I didn't disassemble a waterbed or anything. I had to pull over, like, the car, because I swear, and I don't know how psychological what I was thinking, but I saw that guy with the beard, the white beard,
yeah,
in my freaking rearview mirror. Like, he was in the back seat, and I was just like, holy crap.
Mike, that's freaky.
Yeah.
Well, the Ouija board I played with once,
mm-hmm.
and it did scare me. And I can't tell you if it's real or not, because somebody else is holding onto the goddamn thing at the same time. But it seemed real. Well, because you're asking it questions, and shit is happening, and I can't explain it.
See, whether you think it's real or not, it's definitely also, you can actually, like, subconsciously, you can be doing that stuff without even knowing. We started fooling around with it, but then my mother, of all people, started doing it by herself.
Oh,
and
no.
She was convinced that it was moving by itself. And it started saying, like, she would do it just, you know, with no one else around. And it was starting to be malicious. And yeah. So it freaked her out. And she put it away and she wouldn't touch it. But
it freaked me out so much that I didn't do it ever again. And I remember the day we did it. It was after basketball practice, and it was like in my junior year of high school. And we were at my friend Thad's house, and he says, I'm going to pull out this Ouija board. And it was even in the afternoon. It wasn't even at night. And
yeah.
It scared the shit out of me. It scared the bejesus out of me. And I said, I just don't want to ever touch this thing again. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Because it moved.
Well,
and I was asking it questions that the other guy didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
At least I don't think he knew. So he couldn't have moved it.
Well, that's
know.
The thing is that it could be, I mean, if you believe in that stuff, you could believe that it's actually spirits. Even if you don't believe in that stuff, I mean, that could be an open window to your subconscious just pulling crap out of there that you're not even thinking about.
Yeah.
And so, like, in my mom's case, like, it didn't have, it could be, like bad spirits, or it could be crap that, like, she never consciously thinks of. And so it's like scares the crap out of you either way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those like stuff that you shouldn't
so you don't,
be playing
You don't
with.
Know if subconsciously you're doing it either.
Exactly.
I guess it just.
And you got like this like crazy, like evil stuff like popping up and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. When we went to the Sea Halloween, they showed a preview for the Arona. And,
yeah, we saw that.
And that's a big tale in New Mexico. I mean, it's huge.
Oh, really? I never heard of it.
Oh, God. We had a ditch by our house. And the thing about this movie, there's been movies about this woman before. And the thing that this preview got that used to be legendary is this woman used to walk the ditches and say, ¿Dónde está mijitos? And because she drowned her kids. And it's another one of those psychological games. As kids, age 9, roughly, we'd walk the ditches at night, like stupid, even though our parents told us never to do it. You did it. And I swear I heard that. I heard the woman say that. And the same words that she says in the trailer. And I was like, what the hell? And I ran faster than I've ever ran. Me and my friend, I looked at him. I said, did you hear that? And I could have been somebody playing a joke on us. I don't know. But we both heard it. And we just, I mean, we hightailed it home. We must have sprint faster than we've ever sprint before. I mean, it's just like, whew.
So you're gonna go see the new movie when it comes?
I am, because I want to see what it's about, because it's in it's such a big tale in New Mexico. Matter of fact, I was watching the news around Halloween, and I was in New Mexico, and there was some stupid teacher. I don't know what the hell he was teaching, but he was teaching them the Song of the Arona, and it was horrible. Like, it was like a horrible, I wouldn't want my kids to be singing this, but it grew fear into them. They were like terrified, and it was on the news, and I'm like, why is he teaching this?
Oh, my Lord.
And I'm like, holy, I guess it teaches them to stay away from the ditch, but.
I guess so.
They will never drown, but holy crap. I said, that's
teaches
a hard
them point. Not to sleep at night also.
Yeah, it teaches them not to sleep at night. And then the other weird hallucination I had when I was a kid, but this one was under a fever. So I was under a high fever and sick. But I was scared this one night. And I was in my bed. This was middle school. I was in my bed, and I was pretty sick. But I saw somebody over my bed, and it scared me. And then I saw my parents and my brother at the door. And they were at the base of my door, and they were saying, come quickly, come quickly. They were, like, waving their hands. So I jumped out of bed and ran to the door and knocked myself out because I hit the door. I didn't know the door was closed. I just literally went pow and knocked myself out. My parents came in, said, what the hell did you just do? And I said, there Mike, was somebody little, in my that's, room.
That's a little freaky, Mike. You're actually giving me the chills.
Well, that one I have an excuse for. I don't have an excuse for why the guy with the beard was in my rearview mirror, but
I know
this one I was really sick. You know, like when you're burning a fever, you can hallucinate.
Have you and Barb ever had weird things happen in your house or no?
No.
Me and my wife hear hello every once in a while. One time, both of us heard it at the exact same time. Another time, I heard it by myself. Another time, Stacy heard it by herself. One time she was actually in the shower getting ready for work. She heard it loud enough that she thought I turned around and came back home from work and was shouting from downstairs.
No wonder she doesn't want to watch any horror movies.
No, we've heard them. I'm saying like maybe six times altogether between the two of us. I've heard hello.
Wow. Ronnie, have you had any other weird things besides disassembling your bed?
I don't know if it's weird or not, but like when we first moved into our house, it's a split foyer house. And of course we have four kids, but like we'd lay in bed at night and we'd both hear, like I hadn't told her or Melissa hadn't told me, but you'd hear like this low music. And so I'd get up and all the kids would be asleep and there'd nothing be on upstairs or whatever. And then I'd lay back in bed and you'd hear the music, but it's so low and silent that you couldn't understand what sound, you know, you couldn't make it out or make out words or anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the closest thing. And it could just be that the house was old and, you know, doing the FM stuff off the copper pipes and all that stuff too. But
you couldn't tell where it was coming from or anything?
We couldn't tell where it was coming from. And like, I was like, I'd get up, like I said, at least two times a week just to check on the kids to make sure that they didn't sneak, you know, turn their TVs back on when we went to bed.
Yeah.
And then I got back into bed one night and she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I hear this like noise, this music, and I'm trying to figure out where it's coming from. And we're in the country, so like our nearest neighbor is probably like a quarter mile on both sides of us, so it's not like, you know, neighbor kids or, you know, cars playing outside music, or whatever. And she was like, she was like, oh, that's weird, because I heard it too, but I didn't want to tell you because then you'd think I was crazy. And I was like, well, if we're both hearing it, then we're both crazy.
Wow.
Have you ever went to stay at a haunted place?
Not overnight.
Yeah, I have the Stanley Hotel.
I did the walls in Jeff City.
Oh yeah.
Like the haunted tour of that or whatever, but nothing like
but
overnight.
But it's still at night, right?
The
haunted tour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done some haunted tours before, but we weren't. We never stayed overnight at something like you did. I would absolutely love to do that, but I don't know.
Stanley Hotel's
I don't know where if we have anything around here, honestly.
Yeah, Stanley Hotel is creepy just because it's old. So you hear so much shit because anybody takes a step and you hear creepy wood. You know, the wood creaks.
Right, yeah.
So you don't know, what is that noise? Where's that coming from?
You'd be like Shaggy and Scooby-Doo
walking around. I'd be like Shaggy and Scooby for sure. Get the hell out of here. Give me a Scooby snack. Why am I here?
Did you stay at room 237?
No, I don't want to stay at room 237. That was a bummer, though, because they were supposed to take us to the room that Stephen King wrote The Shining in.
Uh-huh.
And it's supposedly haunted because of some fire that happened and a woman died in this room.
Oh.
And it was all show because they never let us into the damn room. I was like excited to see this room and they go, our keys aren't working. And they, what do you mean the key's not working? And they hand it to everybody and say, try the key. Well, maybe it's not programmed to open the door. I was like, give me a real, you know, get them up here and open the door. But they never let us in. So that sucked. But we went into where they used to play music and stuff, and it was supposed to be haunted. And they turned the lights off, but I didn't see anything.
Yeah, we've been to some other whether they're haunted places or we have the old terminal for the railroad. We have a big central terminal that is not in business anymore. It stopped in the early 80s, I think. But it's supposedly very, very haunted with all sorts of stuff. And they've so they do a haunted tour. I've never seen or heard anything at all.
Well, I have a lot of friends that are in the Carolinas and stuff, and there's a lot of Civil War shit that's really haunted.
Mm-hmm.
That it would be interesting to tour.
I always wanted to go to, speaking of Carolinas, I always wanted to go to Roanoke there. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't guess that's in the Carolinas, but it's on that side.
Yeah.
Just for the Croatoan
thing. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the what?
The crow, what is it? Croatoan?
I don't know exactly how it's spelled.
Yeah, the village that just disappeared.
Oh, really?
And then
I haven't heard about this.
The word was the only thing that's described in the tree when they came back. Like back in, when they were sailing and just pilgrim area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And then I guess it was in Amelia Earhart's journal, the word was.
Oh, I never heard that.
And then it was the last word that Edgar Allan Poe said before he died.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Now you're doing all this this conspiracy theory like the Beyonders.
Yes. That's exactly right.
Holy moly.
Yeah. That's where it came from. I mean, that's how, that's part of the story in the Beyonders, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Baltimore Comic Con, you're only 4 or 5 blocks away from where Edgar Allan Poe's buried.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
We actually went to it.
That's crazy. Ronnie, yeah. I did never heard any of the other stuff. I know about the tree. And I never heard about any other linkings to anything else. But that's freaky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a point, yeah, right? Why? Nobody knows.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Wow. That's, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's really cool. That, I love that stuff. That's super cool.
Yeah, that's why I love, like, the Beyonders book mm-hmm. so much.
Yeah. Like, nobody knows what happened to the lost colony of Roanoke.
Yeah. And that's in the newest issue, too.
Spoiler. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I don't think I've... What is it, number two or three?
Three, yeah.
I haven't read three yet.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. Cool stuff. Do you guys have anything else to talk about? I think I'm
not unless set. You guys do.
Last thing. Since it was in our trailer for Halloween, what do you guys think about the new Pet Cemetery? Did you guys see that? Was that a part of your trailer?
It was not part of our trailers, but I watched the trailer on IMDb maybe a couple weeks ago. I'm very interested to see it. I'm very excited to see it.
I'm interested, but I couldn't get a grasp of what it was based on what I saw. Because I saw it at the theater, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite Stephen King books. I remember reading it when I was a teenager and just it legitimately freaked me out. It was just, like, super creepy. I honestly didn't like the movie all that much, but I think that this looks a little scarier. I think I'm looking forward to this. What are your thoughts, Ronnie?
I'm hopeful because, like you, I didn't really. I enjoyed the first one, but
yeah.
it wasn't as good as the book, obviously. But this one seems to have more of the scary tones than what the original movie did, in my opinion.
That's what I'm getting out of it as well. Yeah, I agree. I'm hoping that's the case. Now, it looks like there might be a sister to the kid. What you got out of that?
Yeah.
Like a sister, yeah. Which, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. But yeah, the trailer looks pretty creepy. Sometimes dead is better.
Yeah.
There's another Happy Death Day coming out, too. I saw the preview for that.
Yeah.
We saw a preview for that, too. That one looks like it definitely is very tongue-in-cheek. Because she's, like, totally pissed off that she has to keep dying and stuff for, like, everyone else.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the first one. Did you guys see the first one?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I got to watch it. Okay. Funny?
It's funny, but it's not funny over funny because
it's not a comedy.
It's like if you're actually getting murdered and you're trying to solve why you're getting murdered, mm-hmm. that part's not funny. The circumstance is funny because it's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But it is a Blumhouse and it was well done. And it made a lot of money. That's why there's another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it.
I was surprised. Me and Barb were talking because we go to the movies almost every Saturday, like I said, Rob. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm surprised there's no more horror movies out besides Halloween.
Yeah.
Because yesterday we were struggling. Like, what do we see? And we were very happy with what we saw, but I sort of wanted to see a horror movie. But it makes sense if Blumhouse has cornered the horror market. They probably don't want to compete against themselves.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's true.
At least that's what our theory was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially a big franchise like Halloween.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to go up against it.
Right.
But the other movie that I saw was really good, Hunter Killer. That was a really good movie. And I never even saw a damn preview for it, so I didn't even know what it was about.
That's what it seems to be like this time of year. Is like, I don't know. I never hear about any of these movies that are out.
Yeah, it
it's like a quiet time for.
It's like a quiet time, but there's some gems in there if you get there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't think Bad Times at the El Royale did all that well, but it was awesome.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, with that Quentin Tarantino feel, I mean, the name of the movie sounds like it
Well,
could be Quentin
just think
Tarantino.
about this as like have a bunch of crazy characters at a hotel that has a line between it that's on both states, Nevada on half of the side of the hotel and California on the other side.
Yeah.
So it's like gambling's legal on one side of the hotel and not on the other side. And it's just weird shit like that.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right. Well, I think we
I
could
guess.
wrap this up. Thanks for
Yeah, I
joining
guess we're
us,
set.
Ronnie, superstar podcaster who does more podcasts than anybody I know.
Oh my God, no doubt.
Yeah.
Where do you find the time, Ronnie?
I don't know. It just happens.
Yeah.
And I just like talking about all stuff that I'm into, and just fortunate enough to have people want to talk about it too. So,
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it, and thanks for picking out a good movie.
well, thanks for having me. It
Yeah,
was fun.
and you ranked Rob's movie a 0 out of 5, which is a good ranking for
Yeah,
his
he
movie.
did. You know
Zero out of
what?
five.
He looked at he looked at it online, and he's like, I'm not watching this
I'm not
shit.
gonna watch
Yeah.
this shit. I'd rather watch the stupid comedy that
It's because I watched the wrong movie and I didn't have time to watch the right one. I
What
watched
did you?
Zero instead.
Oh,
What?
you yeah.
You wouldn't have made it. I 45 minutes, especially after a football game and some drinking, you wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
You would have been gone after half an hour. You would have said, "What the fuck is this
Yep.
shit?"
Oh,
All right.
but
Well,
thanks for
thanks for
joining us.
joining us. You can reach us at Geek Brunch Podcast. You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch, Rob Krieger like Seeger, and Ronnie, what is your handle again?
It's Rombar316.
Yeah, I knew I was Ron something, but I when you throw in the number, I know it has something. You explained the number before. Is it a it's a
I
sport it's a
remember telling
sports
him I thought it was
reasons,
his
right?
birthday.
Is a
I'm actually
wrestling?
the well, I'm actually the third. So it's just the first
Oh.
three letters of my first and last name, and
But I
then
thought
I'm
it
the
had a
third.
wrestling connection too or
But it
something.
does. It does have the Austin 316 thing, but it just fit that I put the 16 on there.
So cool deal. That's how to get a hold of us and come back and listen in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks for the next Retrocast.
Yeah,
Whenever we can
and
get
we got to
together.
thank Nick for the questions.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. Those were spooky ass questions about the Kingpin. Terrified. I don't even know if I want to go to bed now. All right, talk to you guys later.
Thank you,
Later.
guys.
Bye.